Welcome to Cashing In on Content Marketing. Each week, marketing experts will explain how to measure your content marketing results and communicate that value to stakeholders. I'm your host, Fractal Marketing Director, Amanda Milligan. This week on the show, I'm very pleased to say the guest is Aleda Solis, an international SEO consultant who's spoken at more than 100 conferences in 20 different countries, was awarded the European Search Personality of the Year Award in 2018, was featured in Forbes as a top 10 online marketing expert in 2015, and an entrepreneur as one of the 50 online marketing influencers to follow in 2016. Needless to say, she is a force in this industry, and I'm very excited to talk about how to use an SEO lens to make your content exponentially better and grow your brand. Welcome to the show, Aleda.
Hello, thank you very much for having me. I'm very excited to be able to participate today.
I'm very excited that you're here too. So I like to start with a little bit more of a general question. And as we know, SEO is not just a way to get your content to rank. I feel like that's an old way of thinking about SEO, just how do you optimize content so that it ranks in Google. But it's also a way to figure out what you should write about in the first place. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, indeed. I believe that actually SEO or those activities that are included into the SEO process for with a goal to rank better and get more traffic and get more conversions at the end of the day are also very useful and aligned and can be quite profitable also to take into consideration for many other areas. So for example, when you do a keyword research, which at the end of the day is an audience research and a competition research to better understand how your audience searches on the web, right? What do they care about? What are their pain points? Which are the most common questions that you should address with your FAQs, with your copy, at the different levels of your website through the customer journey? So yes, I believe that those activities, research activities that are content related in SEO can be quite useful, not only for SEO purposes, and it's quite aligned also with user experience, because at the end of the day, we should not forget that what Google is trying to do is, well, first, it has the goal to provide the best search experience to users in general. And on the other hand, when Google actually crawls the website and try to find and rank the content of our site, at the end of the day, they take into consideration which is the content that will provide the best user experience and how the user is able to see that content, to perceive that content, to assess that content. So they try to also replicate that in their algorithm, right? So we have come a really, really, really long way since that age where, like, yeah, for SEO purposes, many people believe that they should stuff terms and keywords, right, on the content. That's very long gone. The Google's and search engines algorithm in general, they are much more sophisticated in order to replicate human behavior. So at the end of the day, SEOs, what we also want is to make sure that this content is also has certain type of characteristics, what we call EAT, right, is to show expertise, to show authoritativeness, that is trustworthy too, because it's very aligned to what we also want to provide the best user experience.
Right. And like you said, a lot of the keyword research side is just understanding what an audience wants, looking to see if you can meet that intent of what are they searching for and how can you answer that. So when somebody goes and they do all this initial keyword research and they're getting an understanding of what people are looking for and they have it listed out, marking it with things like where in the funnel it is and how relevant it is, how do you go about prioritizing which ones to go for first?
Yes, that is a really good question and depends a little bit on your context, right? And your goals at the end of the day. What do you want to achieve? Which are those much more prominent areas or products or lines of business that you really want to prioritize because of your business goals, specifically because of seasonality, because of specific objectives that you may have, like a new launch, things like that, right? And then on the other hand, also, of course, search volume, how popular one category or subcategory or one product or another or certain characteristics that even if in your website they are through level categories, you realize that you should link to them and feature them and go for them in a much more prominent way, because there is a crazy popularity and demand for them, right? This is about supply and demand at the end of the day. So I will say that it's very aligned to your goals. But yes, in general, you have criteria like search volume, seasonality, level of competition, your own specific goals too that you want to achieve with timelines. And then on the other hand, also your own current optimization of your content. So for example, let's say if you're already ranking in position 20 or in the 15 with already existing content that you do have, and is you are already ranking with a relevant page, and is a matter of optimizing what you already have. So it's a low hanging fruit. I will say, yeah, probably you should definitely prioritize that if you are targeting a query that is very important already for your process. It's very prominent and very relevant from a business perspective, and it has a good search volume. Let's definitely prioritize that one, because it's better to start leveraging and optimizing something that you already have than rather than starting from scratch and trying to target a query for which you don't have any content at all, right? And you will need a process to start from scratch with content creation, etc., right? That will take a while to rank in the first place and to even index in the first place, right? So a lot of factors, as you can see, but yes, we need to align those that have to do with your own business goals, with your current rankings, with your current positions, how to achieve and reach those goals in the fastest, most cost-effective way, and of course, the popularity of those queries. And then on the other hand, something important to the format of your content. Content is not only text, right? But we may have videos, we might have many other type of contents. And nowadays, Google, of course, is not 10 blue links, right? They have search features, they feature videos, they feature images, FAQs with specific particular formats that are given or provided, highlighted via the implementation of structured data. So if we do have this type of contents or formats and the features like this being shown in those search result pages, we may want to prioritize also to target these pages, because we will be able to get a better click-through rate, and because we may have the capacity right away to create a video for that page for which we are already ranking in a top position organically, but we are not included in that, let's say, in the video carousel, but it's completely doable and quite easy for us to optimize a video that, or prioritize a video that we had already in the pipeline, things like that, right? So as you can see, it should be very well aligned with our goals, with our capacity, with the content, with the restriction also that exists, to make sure that with all of these efforts, we can end up achieving those goals that we have in the SEO process, right?
Right. So how far in advance do you plan when you come up with these strategies? Do you allow a little bit of flexibility? Because like you said, sometimes things can become popular all of a sudden, or maybe your competitors are doing things simultaneously and they come out with something before you're able to do it yourself. How much time do you actually start to plan?
Well, there is, of course, the ideal world, and that is the actual one, because everybody loves to do planning, like yearly plannings or quarter, every quarter to update then also, etc. Of course, you need to have some sort of typical traffic projection, a forecast, etc., to be able to show that, yeah, you're improving from time and what you expect to achieve based on these resources and the goals that you have, to show that you are ROI positive at the end of the day within the organization, which is what everybody wants. But at the same time, and of course, you may have your core areas, your top core topics, top core terms. So for example, you may say, okay, I am this website and I know that I want to grow in X percentage year over year for this top five categories, transactional oriented, but you know that in order for that to happen, you need to also not only to improve the content and let's say the speed or implement structured data or improve the metadata in these pages, but that these pages also need many more backlinks in order to be competitive and rank for this type of queries. And then you understand that for this type of queries, there are many connected other type of searches that are not only transactional, but also informational. So you may also want to consider to start creating content that is much more informational into their, for example, the support area or the blog of your site. And for that, you have much more flexibility. And in that case, yes, you should have, of course, a content calendar, etc. But you may be able and should be able to be flexible to identify trends, to identify trending topics, to piggyback certain or hijack certain type of news within your sector, right? And also to be all the time flexible and to have certain type of flexibility to be able to react based on changes in the industry. So for example, there are many industries that have gone through major changes this year because of COVID, right? So one of my clients was cruise line, a major cruise line. So you can imagine how everything changed from one day to another, right? And one of the, of course, every projection or every forecast went to the bin directly, unfortunately, and the search behavior of the entire audience of that sector changed. And what we started to do is was to identify all these queries, these topics that were being researched by their customers all of a sudden, like, yes, searching for reimbursement, to support, etc. So there was a huge effort going on to provide a good, really good Q&A system, FAQs, revamping that area. And that was very content heavy, I have to say. But and of course, if you think about that, and if you assess, you try to assess like, oh, what is the ROI of that? Very likely they are still, unfortunately, losing money, but not because the effort didn't pay off or the other way around, right? It's very likely that they didn't lose at some point even as much as they could have because they provided a really good user experience. They were able to provide alternatives to users to keep their reservations, to provide alternatives, and also at the end of the day, to give a good service as a business, right? And to keep their customers happy despite the whole craziness going on, right? So as you can see, it's important to be there to identify the opportunities. I have to say there are tools that are doing an amazing job here to identify these topics that all of a sudden are arising and to facilitate the analysis of the before and after. So for example, at a macro level, SEO Monitor has created something that is called SEO Monitor Alerts that allow you to search for any term, and you can also assess per niche, I believe, or per website category to see if it is increasing, decreasing, which are the connected topics or queries for each that are increasing or decreasing. And they show you right away what was the trend a year before and before COVID, right? So before, after COVID, and you can see how it had changed versus last year. So that is nice. And then on the other hand, there are tools like SEO Zoom, right? SEO Zoom has a very powerful keyword analysis feature showing right there also for any query, for any keyword, what was the trend last year before COVID, right? And the one this year overlay. And you can really easily see how it had changed, how it was impacted since March. And then they also have this other tool that is sort of keyword planner or content planner that shows you the keywords per seasonality. So I can see right now segmented already, pre-filter, which are the terms that are in my sector that are whether targeted by me or by my competitors, or that I am monitoring that are going to be having the highest peak and trends or in season, top season in December or in November or in January, right? To be able to have this very helpful input in my content calendar, in my schedule, right? And like, so this type of tools really facilitate all these tasks.
Those sound fantastic. I'll be sure to include the links to those in the show notes. So thank you for sharing them. And I love your cruise line example because it goes back to what you were saying earlier about how your goals are the most important. And in that case, it's not only about ranking for those keywords anymore and getting the traffic. It's about, like you said, the branding, the customer experience, which are completely different goals that might have been set out from the beginning. Earlier, you mentioned the low-hanging fruit of optimizing posts. I want to come back to that because you've talked in the past about how even if you're ranking page one, number one, it still could be worth updating. Why is that?
Yes. So, you know what? It's funny that you asked me about that because, or I don't know if you asked me about that because you have seen it, but a few days ago, last week, actually, I did this presentation, online presentation, and I actually created a graph after that to show potential reasons why your click-through rate is very low besides poor rankings, right? And how to fix that, right? So, for example, you might be targeting non-relevant queries at all. So you cannot do much about those. But if it is a relevant query and you are ranking with the relevant page, right? Maybe your title, meta description is unattractive or really not optimized. So it's important to take into consideration what your other the other players, the competitors are showing in terms of titles on the descriptions. Maybe there's a search feature that is being shown in that search, in those search results, right? And so, for example, there's a big maps results being shown at the top. And so you realize like the share of clicks and the click-through rate, even if you are in position first or second, is very, very low. So if you really want to maximize your visibility and attract more traffic from those search results, you better get included in those map results or top news, latest news carousels, or the video carousels, in case it is relevant from content format perspective and your business model, of course, to attract also that traffic in another way. Or maybe you identify that is because you are ranking with an irrelevant page. Unfortunately, maybe you adopt two different type of scenarios. In that case, maybe it's because you have cannibalization issues. You have many different pages targeting the same query. And in that case, you realize that Google doesn't know well which one to rank. Maybe it's ranking one that is not necessarily the best one. And the way to address that is whether by consolidating that into only one page, by 201 redirecting one to the other, leaving the much more powerful one as the one index, and of course, like updating all internal links, etc., towards that one, sending all link popularity towards that one. And if that doesn't make sense, and it's because you truly have sort of content duplication issues, is about simply, you know, just literally like canonicalizing one to the other in case you cannot redirect, for example. So there are many different potential reasons, as you can see. But as far as I can see, like there's always a, like good reasons, potential reasons for you to not necessarily maximize or have the best possible click-through rate for a certain, or maximize the clicks or the value that you may have for a certain query, right? And in some cases, it doesn't necessarily have to do of you not being ranked in the top positions. Sometimes you do. And even despite all that, you're not getting good click rates. I have to say too, more and more we see that for certain more basic type of informational queries with a very basic type of search intent. So for example, these are factual type of searches. We have the zero type of results, right? And they result in on clicks. Sure. Because yeah, the search intent is satisfied with the data that Google already provides in the SERPs, right? So yes, it's about, I will say it's important to understand what is the intent of the query, the importance of the query because of all of this, what is the type of value that this will can end up bringing to the website, because also it's another factor to take into consideration when prioritizing, right? The efforts that you should pay to all the different type of pages and contents that you need to optimize for.
Right. And you wrote a post, I think this is like in 2016 on your site, that I really loved, that was about content reusage. And you had a workflow where you basically looked at some of these old posts, or said that people should look at their old posts and assess different things, like if it should be updated, expanded, reformatted, curated. Do you still use this workflow? Have you changed anything about it?
Yes, I still use it because I do believe, because of what I mentioned before, sometimes you realize that, oh, I am ranking in second position with this blog post. And yes, indeed, my click-through rate is really, really poor. I'm not getting the traffic that I expected from this, and it's an important query. And then you realize, oh, there's a huge video carousel above. And if you, again, it's important to understand your client, your customer, your audience, right? And it's a how-to type of query. And then if you put into your user's shoes, this will be totally a query for which you will much prefer to watch a video rather than read an article, right? So it's like, oh, this is the perfect opportunity, and it makes total sense for you to actually create a video for that. So this is the problem. I do believe that many of us, they still, unfortunately, many people see SEO like this. They only see the ranking, say, oh, what else you can get, right? What else you can bring? I said, oh, I am in position first already, or I am already in the top three. And so I won't necessarily get much more from targeting this type of term. I will move forward with other ones, and there are still huge opportunity, great opportunities of, by continue targeting this certain topics, by expanding your visibility in many other ways. And sometimes it's by reformatting, repurposing. A lot of people, I do believe also, is that they don't pay enough attention to the content that they have written, let's say 3 years ago. And they think that they are already targeting this topic and they have a page ranking for it and that's it. But they don't realize that after a certain time, this page starts getting less and less traffic because it's less and less accurate, because it doesn't already potentially provide as an accurate information anymore because time has passed by, right? Maybe is this a term that for which Google considers that the results deserve freshness? And I have this very specific and interesting example of something that happened to me. I don't know if many people know, but besides doing SEO consulting, I have my own web project that is called Remoters. It's a remote work website resources, right? And we have a remote job board. We have a lot of how-tos, remote tools, etc. It's like a hub for remote work. Anyway, one of this posts that we publish every year, every January, we have this remote work trends that we refresh. And this is a type of content that definitely needs to be refreshed by default every year, right? With the latest trends, we do an analysis of what is happening in the industry. We do a survey, et cetera, et cetera. So this is something that for which we reuse. Again, we reuse the same URL also every year to keep the URL popularity, etc., right? Also, and we have this archive system that after when we revamp, when we refresh the page, we archive the previous content in a new URL with the year of last year, etc. So we have that properly optimized to make sure that we always run with the same page for remote work trends and the current year or remote work trends in general. The thing is, we updated that page in January this year, and this happens every year. Once that we refresh that page, this page is not because it is better or has more content or anything like that. It's because it's more accurate and provides more updated information, and Google identifies that, right? And it's better connected with the new searches for remote work plus this year too, because it has this year naturally integrated with the year name, naturally integrated in the content, right? So Google can identify that too. So anyway, after we update this content, it start ranking better and get more traffic. Then this year, and that keeps for a while, right? But then this year, it happened that after COVID happened in March, it started to lose not only traffic, but also ranking. So I took a look in June. I mean, too late already it was, because I was, you know, we had crazy amount of work, not only because of SEO clients myself, but also on the website with my partner in it because of the remote work craziness, right? And then I say, oh my God, how come we are losing traffic with this page? This page should be the top one at this point. And I saw that it was getting tons of links also from major publications linking towards it, because it used to be like the first one ranking for remote work trends. And then I took a look, and then I realized in June, it's like, oh my God, we created actually an additional post analysis analyzing how COVID had impacted remote work, but we hadn't integrated that topic or the COVID novelty and latest updates in the remote work page, remote work trends page, right? So that remote work trends, it was like all the information didn't include anything about COVID anymore. So I went, literally, it took me 5 minutes to go, and I took a paragraph, like the summary paragraph of the other analysis post that we had only done for COVID specifically, and copy paste it, rephrase it, summarizing and saying like, yeah, this has happened, this has changed everything, there will be a before and after. We have done a proper analysis about this in this other article, you can go and check it. But of course, now it was more accurate, it reflected what was happening in the sector. It had a proper section on the article, on the post. I included in the index too that we had on the post, updated it, refreshed it, like resend, like resubmitted for to be re-indexed, like literally within hours. That post was ranking again in top positions. It was huge. I actually took a screenshot and I asked over Twitter, it's like, what? And I asked people, right? Like, what do you think that happened here? Because literally the spike that it caused, it was like if something had been launched, right? Like, or a migration, a before and after all of the traffic that the website had gotten just because of that, right? So it's crazy. So you can see that how updating the information in certain cases is critical. It's important to keep your rankings, to be able to keep accurate, to be able to be perceived as accurate as you were before, right? So my recommendation here is like, check, not because you are already targeting certain terms, you think that it's all done, right? Recheck those pages for which you identify that the crypto rate is poor or used to rank better, get more traffic in the past. And of course, all of these topics that are recurrent topics. It's important that you set an alert there and to be aware when something crazy happens like this that might have an impact into those topics to also update accordingly.
That's a really powerful example. I can't believe that you saw results that quickly, literally within hours.
Yes, it's crazy. I was also in shock, and the results were non-trivial too. Yeah, I never expected it, to be honest.
Wow. Well, that's all extremely insightful and I think excellent advice. To start rounding the show out, there's something else I wanted to ask you, which was related to a recent interview you did with Women in Tech SEO. And you were talking about how, at the end of the day, if you are in SEO, you can't just get by on pure SEO understanding. You have to learn some of the other skills that are out there, including communication with decision makers. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, I think that in SEO, we are a little bit, and of course, it's necessary and it's something that is non-trivial and it's complex and it's more like, it seems that it's seen as fundamental and it is fundamental in our work, technical skills, right? But something that is also fundamental in our work to make things happen, to make those technical skills pay off, that our recommended implementations are actually implemented, is that our message can come across, right? That what we recommend is actually understood, that what we try to prioritize as critical, fundamental for the business, the other side also sees in the same way and understand why we want to prioritize it, right? Unfortunately, I do believe that when we work with clients, whether with clients or in-house, right, there are a lot of egos involvement, unfortunately, because as a multidisciplinary specialization, we need to recommend on content. So we need to give certain guidelines and recommendations and request changes to copywriters, right? Then the same with developers, then the same with potentially even designers, right? Because of things, how things are displayed that have an effect in SEO. So fortunately, it's critical that the message that we provide and the relationship that we build with all of these different areas, and then, of course, the decision makers that sometimes are not technical at all and cannot understand why crawlability is so important, why indexability plays such an important role, why that internal link that seems so trivial is fundamental to make sure that this page ranks better, right? So we need to be able to communicate across so many different areas in so many different ways, trying to not step on toes, trying to also gain support to influence people to communicate across so many different levels. So this is why I do believe that good communication skills are critical, that winning people's support and soft skills are critical in SEO, even in a major way, in a way that we never mostly don't even talk about, right? But it's critical to make sure that our work is, at the end of the day, effective and is successful. Because without these skills, it's like you might be doing a super accurate and comprehensive analysis, and even that doesn't matter if it is not implemented. And it won't be implemented if you're not able to communicate value of it, what can be achieved, and you don't get the support or gain the support in a way of the people that you will be implementing your recommendations, right?
Right. So if somebody's facing this kind of daunting task of getting buy-in around their organization, like you said, it could be so many different people or just the top decision makers who aren't as familiar with the intricacies of SEO, what advice would you give those people?
Yeah, I have to say something. I actually have presented about this, so you can go to my slideshow and look for a couple of decks of presentation. First, why SEO fails, where I address at a more general level why SEO processes fail. First is the lack of fit with the client, because of course, especially agencies, they need to sell, keep profitability, cash flow, etc., right? And sometimes there isn't a good fit in the first place, right? That shouldn't have been in the first place an SEO client potentially, but social ads or PPC or whatever else first, right? So that is the first reason. Second reason is because of the way that we sometimes address the audits in a way that are not necessarily prioritized or actionable or easy to understand or visual enough or well documented in a way that it shows exactly how it should be done and also show exactly what is the value of each action by the impact on traffic and impact on money that it will have, right? And so you can show, for example, screenshot of SEMrush or how much traffic your competitors are getting with this same type of page or how your competitors are ranking you for this same type of page or for these queries for that you will like or you will love to rank for, but you're not. So there are many different ways how you can show value and to try to pass your or to communicate how important it is, these recommendations. That is not because of the sake of being well optimized, it's because you're leaving money on the table, and the worst is your competitors are profiting from that, right? So the way that we format, I believe, are all these audits, recommendations, and this is also communication at the end of the day. How we communicate our recommendations plays also a major role here. And then, of course, at the end of the day, it's also how we coordinate and manage the day-to-day, right? It's sort of the project management type of activities and skills that we have with our clients or all the team members or stakeholders if we are in-house, right? How we coordinate, collaborate, how we prioritize with them, how we indeed like make a point or learn to make a point, things like that, right? So these are three major areas that I think that have a major role. And yes, as you can see, it's like sometimes it's a matter of instead of doing an audit of 100 pages, trying to be as accurate as possible and comprehensive as possible and not leaving nothing out, is about, of course, if you want to start seeing results as fast as possible, I want to give you the top five things that you need to start doing right now to start seeing a result in the little amount of time as possible, right? So what I will do sometimes is just, I will say, I will give you the top priorities in a couple of weeks and I will give you the full thing in a month, right? Because I want you to start implementing and advancing as fast as possible, right? Things like that. And then when prioritizing, it's critical that we don't think just purely from a technical perspective of, oh my God, link redirected pages, that is so bad. But literally, call budget might be an issue, a huge issue for a marketplace of, I don't know, like 500 million URL, things like that, or 10 million. Let's go not so much to the extreme, right? But if you have a small website, if you have a SaaS website that is literally 5,000 URLs, scroll budget, and having a few link redirected pages is not going to kill you if these are help pages that are not the critical ones that you want to rank right now, right? Mine and focus on those top categories, top product pages, key pages that you are already more or less ranking with, that are targeting important queries already, or that you really want to prioritize because of your business and search popularity, and align the recommendations accordingly. Sometimes, indeed, like the recommendations that need to be prioritized is optimizing the metadata of these pages or optimizing the speed of these pages because it's terrible and it takes like 20 seconds, right? So again, context is super important, it's critical. And that is why it is going to be very, very difficult that the priorities of the SEO recommendation priorities of a website is exactly the same as all the websites, even in the same sector and in the same type of website, because the maturity of the SEO process might be different. Maybe one has been already doing SEO for 5 years, another one is just starting. So the priorities, the level of work, what should be managed and should be tackled is completely different in order to make things happen from scratch, right? And the other one is much more sophisticated. You might be thinking on already not necessarily improving the metadata because that is already done, right? Oh no, you're thinking on how you can leverage all the opportunities for observed features and implementing structured data on the other hand, right? So you can see that this is critical for me. This is what makes actually makes or breaks SEO, is to make SEO strategical and take your context into consideration, your goals into consideration, your restrictions, your requirements, what you're good at, what you're not good at, and the level and what is the stage within the process where you are, right? And to be to prioritize well, to make the effort highly impactful, and then on the other hand, to be able to show results as much as possible and communicate those expectations and those recommendations and potential results accordingly. And of course, if this is the thing, right? This has a lot to do with the project management skills that I mentioned before, right? And why they were important for SEO. If you don't get the support to implement this, it's important that you also say, okay, if it is not viable to implement this, if we don't have the resources to implement this, as expected in these timelines, unfortunately, we won't be able to achieve this and this and these results. Because, of course, we depend and we want results. We need to implement stuff in the first place.
That was an excellent breakdown. I really appreciate you sharing that insight. And I'll make sure to link to the SEO fails deck in case people want to dive into this further, because I completely agree. If you can't get people's buy-in and get them to understand what you're trying to do and be able to do the activities that will reach your goals, then it's kind of all for nothing. So thank you. And to wrap things up, knowing the objective of this show is to help people understand the value of their work and get buy-in for it, especially in the content side of things, who would you recommend to be future guests on the program?
Content, let's see. I will say content and SEO. Well, Joel Kletke, he's amazing in content. I don't know if you have already.
No, I haven't.
Already interviewed him in content. He knows SEO, but he's not so much SEO, but is much more, an amazing copywriter, conversion focused. B2B copywriter from business casual copywriting, you should definitely interview him.
Awesome. Thank you so much for that recommendation. And thank you, Aleda, for coming on the show and sharing your insights with us.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity. It was fun.
For more insights and exclusive resources on how to justify content marketing, join our email newsletter by going to frac.tl, clicking on Our Work, and then Podcast. See you next week.